I'm leaning on the Lord this morning, and I desire your prayers. Those of you that were in the services last Sunday, you may have to bear with us for this Sunday. I felt that I struggled with the message last Sunday. And that happens from time to time. Anyone that's a minister will understand that there are times the Lord can give us an inspiration, and we were told this as we were being called to the ministry, to be prepared that sometimes the Lord takes a back seat and just leaves it with you. And I felt like that was one of those messages. Whether you felt that or not, I did. But when that happens to me, my first thing to do is to go home and get on my knees and I say, Lord, why? Is there something in me that hindered the Spirit of the Lord from blessing and anointing? So that's what I did, and felt like that the Lord spoke to me and said that I was not a partaker of the fruit of that message. So throughout the week, he has continued to work with the burden. It was a burden that I had. And so some of it may be repeated today. So those of you that heard, there weren't very many here last Sunday, but those of you that were here, there may be some repetition. In the past, ministers of generations that have already gone on have made prophetic statements, I would say. I remember hearing some of those profound statements that distressed and disturbed us when I was young. Some of those things came to pass. Some of those things we didn't necessarily see come to pass as they were told. So it puts a caution on us even this morning. As seeing and hearing and partially referring to the things that even Brother Doug said as he took prayer request, that we can be influenced in our mind by what we see and what we hear. I'm thinking about what Jesus said. He said that you can look at the sky in the morning and look at the sky in the evening, and you can discern the weather. Many people do. Maybe we all don't do it that way. But he used that. And then he said, this is what he said. He said, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. I think that we do discern the signs of our times. And yet, even though we may feel like that we can see the handwriting on the wall, the events of our life may, and the events of our nation or the world, may impact us for a time. And then time goes on, and then we're back where we were, we're same as we were, and all things continue, the Bible says, as it was. But I still think that the Lord is wanting to speak to us and make us alert and awake. I am thinking about the five wise and the five foolish. And the scripture says that the five wise took oil with them in the beginning. The scripture says that all 10 virgins, slumbered and slept. They all lived life, and they were all waiting for the same thing, for the coming of their Lord. And then it happened suddenly, and five were prepared and five were not. And there was not any time to go and get prepared. That was the day. Last Sunday, we started with a scripture from Jeremiah 12 and 5. And rather than turn and read it, I'm just going to give it to you in my own words. I paraphrased it last Sunday. And I want to keep that interpretation, if you will, because it's not from any other Bible. It's just simply the way that I look at it. And I believe even from the interpretation that I give, you'll understand and remember the scripture. But it says, if in the time of peace, and in just simply running with the footman, ye get weary and even feel tried, even with those things. The question is, how will you bear the harder things that come into your life? I feel that that's my burden. And while I may not repeat that throughout the message this morning, I want you to keep it in your mind. Last week, we spoke on the sufferings of Christ, named out different things that he suffered. We also made a statement that the scripture says, you and I are called to this life. Because Jesus suffered, we also will suffer. So it is the life that you and I are called to. And we must not draw back from it. It has its purpose. I'm just going to give you a few of the scriptures, just in paraphrasing, that were given last Sunday, because we don't want to necessarily repeat those for this time. But we talked about you and me not thinking that it's strange concerning the fiery trials that we go through. We may look at the trials that we pass through now and think they're very hard. And maybe they are hard for the moment. But the scripture tells us not to think that strange. Another scripture we spoke of being buffeted for our faults, that there's really not much glory in being buffeted for your own faults, and you take it patiently. Seems like there should be some kind of glory in that. But the true glory is when you do good and you are rebuffed for doing good, and you take it patiently. I guess my confession this morning is that's where the word of the Lord caught me. In order for me to minister the word, I need to be living by the word. The scripture speaks of the minister being first a partaker of the fruit. I believe that we are in a time that the devil is, I know we are in a time that the devil is trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. That was prophecy. He wants to wear you and me down and out with everyday life. I want you to keep that in your mind. We spoke about suffering as a Christian, that a Christian should not be ashamed if they suffer for Christ. I believe that there is a certain amount of shame the enemy wants to put on us if we do suffer as a Christian. But our suffering is very mild, I think, compared to what it could be. The scripture also says, blessed are those that are reviled and persecuted. There's a blessing in it, but oftentimes we almost get down under it. Actually, we haven't even experienced it hardly. The scripture also says that there is a purpose for suffering. It is to strengthen, establish, and settle us. Whatever degree of suffering that you might go through, there's a reason. The Lord is trying to bring you to a place of being established and strengthened and settled so that you won't be moved, see? We spoke about endurance, and we all know it's the one that endures to the end that will be saved. Now, Paul said in one place, he said, the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that is set before or that will be revealed. That's a portion of that scripture. The thought has come to my mind of comparing, Paul said it's not worthy to be compared, but it might pay you and me to do some comparing. Not among ourselves. The scripture says it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. I'm not talking about that kind of comparing. But I'm thinking in light of eternity and compare eternity and the eternal things to the trials or the problems, the disappointments, the hurts, the wounds, whatever it is that we might name as a trial or feel as a persecution, stop and compare. Compare it to heaven. Compare it to the reward of eternal life. It will help you and me to have a different view of our so-called trials and tests and burdens and cares. There's a song that says, ever keep heaven in view. If ever there was a time that you and I needed to keep heaven in view, it is today. We may have felt that way in years past, experiences of the past, but life is always ongoing. You look back at the hard places of life. I can look back at the very difficult, hard things where the Lord carried me. Oh, it was hard to go through those places. But it was when you looked back and you saw what the Lord did for you. And then you said, you know, I would gladly go through that again. I've said that. But you can't go back. You can't repeat those same things. There's always something out ahead. So you have to keep heaven in view today and the reward of eternal life. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about some small things. Turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. It says, take, this word take has the reference on it. It says catch. So let's use the reference word on it instead of the actual word of take. Catch us some foxes. Or catch us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. And the latter part of that verse says, for or because our vines have tender grapes. One scripture that we read last week, which we have used different times since the Lord inspired it to us and opened up our eyes and our understanding to it, it said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? We think of salvation as being all-powerful, and it is. It can save to the uttermost. There is nothing it cannot do for man to change man into a new creature. I believe that. I believe the worst addict of whatever vice that the power of Christ can deliver and set free. I believe that. But why would the scripture be to warn us if the righteous just barely make it? I think it's because of what we're going to talk about, the little foxes, little things. So it says, catch us, the foxes, or the little things, because the fruit of my vine is very tender and can drop off and be dead. You want your fruit to die? You're going to have to watch for the little things. Things that don't really seem that important. Things that are a little bit insignificant. Sometimes little things, and I said the term last week, I want to tell you I had to think about the petty things in my life that can hinder me. This last week. Sometimes, just as the little foxes spoil the vine, it can be some very little things in your life and mine that will spoil our victory. We are to be a victorious people. The word says, where sin doth abound, what happens to his grace? Does it fall to the earth? No, it abounds even more. So whatever I'm facing, the scripture also says that there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whatever you faced this week, whatever disappointment, whatever trial, whatever test, your brethren have experienced similar things. The scripture tells us and speaks about a being compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I believe there are witnesses in the earth, but there are witnesses of those who made it, who gained the victory, who did not fail, who did not turn back. And they're with God the Father right now. And he's waiting to bring them with him at his return. And they will be a witness against all who say, I couldn't make it. The power of God is able to help you and me surmount the little things. The little things will hinder my spiritual growth. The little things will hinder my spiritual strength. The little things will keep me from being established. All the suffering of the world, all the suffering that you may go through physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever kind of suffering you feel that you are in or you're called to suffer, all that suffering will not establish you if you don't take care of the little things. You've got to watch. You've got to be careful. A scripture over in Zechariah 4 and 10, the first part of that says, who hath despised the day of small things? I've used that scripture preaching to encourage us because a small congregation. And I believe it applies. I believe that we should not despise small things, small numbers, small blessings. But the Lord seemed to inspire it to me in a different way. This word despise means to look down on or to consider unworthy of attention. It's not real important, see. So we're going to use it in that way. Who hath despised the day of the small things that are eating away at me? I think I've referred to it not long ago, of a dripping faucet. Anybody ever had a dripping faucet in your house? You're trying to go to sleep, and there's a drip. And your mind can't get off of it. I remember Brother Souter telling about two men in a race. The scripture has us to understand that this is a race and that only one is going to win the prize. That doesn't mean only one person in this whole room is going to win. That means you are in a race with eternal life against the very powers of darkness. And he is trying to be like a dripping faucet. He just wants to hinder you, slow you down, cause you to be less than what you should be. Don't have as much victory. Don't have as much strength. You're really not established, see? Brother Souter told about these two men that were in a race. One had a jackrabbit start, and he was out front. And he had a great hope he was going to win the prize. And the man that he was racing, he was being steady. He was steadily gaining just a little bit on that man, but he wasn't putting forth a whole lot of effort. But every time his foot would touch the ground in his race, he would grunt. You know that man that was out front got to listening to that, and it started affecting him, and he lost the race. The other man had saved his strength. He had distracted him, and right at the end, he ran ahead and won the prize. You can't let anything distract you. The small things will distract you. and hinder you. I started with a scripture a little bit ago over in Luke 21, 34, and 35, parts of those verses. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with. Now, the scripture, I know what it says. Overcharged with drunkenness, overcharged with, I can't remember now, don't have it open there.
Surfeiting.
Surfeiting. Cares of life. Cares of this life is a big one. But you could put many things in that blank. I have some I'm going to put in there. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with petty trials, with petty hurts, petty disappointments. Oh, we are so soft. We can hardly bear the disappointments of life. We come away from those disappointing places and we say, oh, it is such a trial to me. I want to tell you there can be a greater trial. We better learn to overcome and not be overcharged with the petty things of life. We better let those things strengthen and establish and settle us to prepare us for what's out there.
Yes, amen.
It's happening in other countries. Why should it not happen here? Our nation is ripe for judgment. We've all been knowing that. We've discerned it. We see the sky. We have discerned the times. We have witnessed the decline. We have, I believe it was said in the prayer, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to live a quiet and a peaceful life, and I do. And I still think, and I've said it over and over, I believe that's what the Lord has given us the permission, if you will, to say, Lord, please let us live a quiet and a peaceful life. But other generations, it didn't happen that way. Other peoples, even in other lands, even now, some are giving their lives for the gospel, for Christ. It's very hard for me. I've stated it here, and I cannot help but state it again. I can't hardly allow myself to look at the pictures of those. I can't do it. But what about my petty trial? Somebody didn't just speak real kind to me. And that became a real battle. Somebody didn't speak to me at church. And that became a trial. And I went home and I battled that all week long. I want to tell you, we need more victory than that. That's petty. That's little. That's one of those little foxes. It will spoil the fruit of your vine. Get over it.
Yes.
Not in yourself. But I want to tell you, God can help you and me get over these things and be stronger for it and be prepared for what might come. If in a time of peace, and if just running with the footmen, if you're weary with that, and if you get tried, oh, it's such a trial. What will you do when it really comes down to the real thing, to the real persecution? You ready to give your head? I am afraid we're not ready. I am afraid we need to get stronger. Petty, insignificant, unimportant, trivial things. I want to tell you that's one of the ways that the devil is trying to wear you and me out. Is little things that are unimportant. Recognize it. Reach for the victory. Reach for the grace. Pray until you have the grace. I'll testify again, and I know that you've heard me testify to this. This trial happened only 1 year ago, and it was one of the hardest trials that I have had in many years. Guess what it was about? A deep hurt. You got to watch those deep hurts. You got to watch what people say to you and how it affects you. You got to watch it. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I want to tell you the devil wants to make it into a mountain. In my particular experience, I could not get it off my mind. The echo of those words were ever ringing in my mind. I would try to pray. I could not say two sentences. And the Lord gave this to me. He gave me the words, Lord, cover my mind. Cover my spirit. Cover my emotions. What is he covering it with? His blood. I would pray that way and get relief for two sentences. The way to fight these kind of battles is not give up. If the devil isn't giving up, you don't give up. You continue to resist. You continue to pray against the devil. You continue to pray against his efforts, his plans, his purposes. Pray against them. You must pray against the devil. I prayed that kind of prayer, cover my mind, cover my spirit, cover my emotions, until the Lord gave me power. Praise God. I got the victory. Do I remember it? Yes, but it has no impact on me. The devil cannot take you down when the power of God has come into your heart and life and helped you to overcome petty things. You know what? I wasn't out there facing the firing squad or the fire or my head being cut off. I wasn't there. But it was something that... That's why the scripture says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what are you doing with the battles that are really petty compared to? We're comparing this to eternal life. We're comparing it now to the reward in heaven. Is it worth allowing it to destroy me spiritually? It's not. Compare it a little bit. The last part of that verse, verse 35 of chapter 21 of Luke, says, and that day come upon you unawares. And we may read that, and I believe it is talking about the day of the Lord's coming, but I'm going to say, what about that day of the real persecution? Will it come on you so unaware and you've already spent all of this energy and sleepless nights because somebody hurt me. Somebody disappointed me. We better get our eyes off of the petty things, the little things, and prepare for the day of the real thing. There's a theory I want to give you in the next scripture, because in a way it isn't really speaking about what we are this morning, but in a way it is. It's in the 16th chapter of Luke in verse 10. And it says, "He that is faithful in that which is little." Well, it doesn't say little. It says least. But the theory of that verse can be applied to your life and my life. If you're faithful in the little trials, then you'll be faithful in the big trials. That's what that means. You'll be faithful in that which is much or big or large. You know, it pays us to keep in our mind the very purpose, Satan's purpose. Remember what his purpose is. He wants to steal. What is he wanting to steal? He wants to steal your victory. He wants you to lose your salvation, and he steals it. He wants to kill. He wants your soul to be destroyed. It's his purpose. You've got an adversary. Only one is going to win the prize. Are you going to let him grunt with every trial and test until he passes you up and wins the prize? So again, if in the time of peace and of simply running with the footman, and that worries you, that frets you, that causes you to be tried and wearied with life, what are you going to do when it really gets hard? If you can't bear some of the smaller things, the smaller trials, look at it and say, I'm not out there waiting for him to cut my head off. And the scripture even bears this out. Hebrews 12, verse 1, and I'm going to look at 3 and 4 because this is where it says it. Speaks about us being compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. What does it say for us to do after we have been, after we see those witnesses? It says, you and I are to lay aside that thing that so easily besets us. That's a little thing. That's a petty thing. If it'll take me down, I need to be stronger than it. Verse 3, it says for us to consider Christ, because he endured great contradiction of sinners. And he said the reason that you and I need to consider that, so we won't get wearied in our mind. We can get weary in our mind with the pressures of living for the Lord. Look at verse 4. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Has anybody here been shed any blood for the gospel this week? Don't see a hand. Anybody here be arrested and put in prison this week? And you're free this morning? See, none of us have gotten there. We read about it in others, but what about us? We haven't resisted unto blood yet, striving against sin. I've said it when I got the text a few weeks ago. Brother Michael Williamson sent out a text to, I presume, other ministers. I got one. After the ruling came down with the Supreme Court concerning same-sex marriage, His text started out saying how disappointed he was. It ended with, "This may be the mountain we die on. We give our life for it." I said earlier about prophecy, and I guess I'm hoping it isn't prophecy. But as we finish the message and the scriptures that we're going to read in your hearing, I'm not so sure it's not prophecy. Lord, help us all to be prepared, to be ready, to not give in to the little things. You know, the scripture also said that it just takes a little slumber and a little sleep and a little folding of the hands. And the scripture says your poverty will come. Maybe that is speaking about real life. But I'm telling you, spiritually, we can't just go around soft. There's a song that came to my mind, and it says, "Your roses may have thorns, but don't forget. Your thorns may have some roses too." What does that say? I believe the Lord has a blessing for his people and a power and a grace. I believe it. I believe that he doesn't give us grace before the event. But I believe there is a preparation for it. It is when I fight the good fight of faith up to that point. I believe he's trying to prepare us to make us stronger in the power of his might to prepare us. I know he is. For the last part of this message, I have scriptures, and I've written them down, so I'm just going to basically read them in the order I've written them, but they've come from John 15 and Matthew 10. All of these scriptures, I believe, come from those two. Jesus said, "Remember the word I said unto you." I gave this last week. "The servant is not greater than his Lord." He went ahead and he said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Oh, America has been so blessed for over 200 years. Those people that founded our Constitution and they had a vision of people living free and worshiping the Lord, and the very foundation of this country was based on the Word of God and on God. It was. And the benefit has been extended to generations through that time, including mine and yours. But it's changing. Our nation, as we said, is ripe for judgment. God sets them up and he takes them down. It's the word of God. He's preparing us. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. The disciple is not above his master, this is Matthew 10:24, nor the servant above his Lord. I'm repeating it. Two places. saying basically the same thing. It's in more places than that. Jesus said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. 17. Beware of men. They shall deliver you to the councils, and they shall scourge you, and ye shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Going to John, the 16th chapter now, verses 1, 2, and 4. These things have I spoken unto you, and I read this last week also, that ye should not fall away. That's the reference on it. Be offended is in the scripture, but it says that ye should not fall away. I've spoken these things to you. I've told you, I've warned you now. I've given you what you need to work with in your mind, in your life, so that you will not fail. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. Does that sound familiar? Help us to escape, Father. We would that you would allow us to live a quiet and a peaceful life. But what if we don't? Will you fail? These things have I spoken to you, that ye should not fall away. Verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember I told you of them. I'm glad, you know, down through my life, I read these things and pretty well just passed over them. That was for another time. That wasn't going to be in our time. I'm telling you, God wants us to be prepared. It could be in our time.
Yes, that's true.
You know, we don't like to be a doomsday, scare you to death preacher. Oh, you young people, get a hold of God as never before. Deepen down in the things of God, get founded on the solid rock, because you're going to need it. You are going to, listen, we're all going to need it. We've been through too many petty trials and let it take too much of our time and energy and attention. Lord, help us. He said, I told you, when that time comes, you'll know. Lord, help us. One last scripture in Revelation, the 20th chapter. And I want to tell you that even as I have this scripture written down, and even as I'm turning to it, there is a opposition in my spirit to even read it. 20th chapter and verse 4. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And listen to this. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. I find beheading as barbaric. Shocking. Uncivil. People that are full of devils that would do such things. We have not been accustomed to such barbaric actions down through our life. We haven't. As this was opened up to me, I began to think of how many was beheaded for Christ. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. He was solid. He was filled with the Holy Ghost even before he was born. Even before the Holy Ghost had come upon the people of the earth, John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit. He carried out the will of the Father, the plan. But one day he was arrested, put in prison. And a vile and wicked woman sought for his head. Do you know why? Because he taught the truth. Because he told, you can't have your brother's wife. It's adultery. He probably thought, oh, I'll be in prison for a little while, but pretty soon they came and took him out and took his head off. They beheaded him. Barbaric. Vile. Wicked. Those souls that are giving their head for the gospel and for Christ are there. And when he comes again, he will have them with him, and they will be saying, I endured it, and I made it. But listen to why else that they lost their heads. They had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, in their fellowship. You know what? We're living in such a world that it's called diversity. You know, don't say anything about my religion. I won't say anything about your religion. Don't say anything about my lifestyle. I won't say anything about your lifestyle. This mark in our hand is like fellowship. It says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now that's we're not going to get that twisted up with 1,000-year reign, see. That's a whole nother subject. I believe the Lord says for us to stop right here. Pray for me.